want to make sure we're still broadcasting, though?
We are. I just started the broadcast, so we'll be live momentarily.
Great. I just wanted to make sure that changing the number. So it was the number and not the room that was double booked.
That's correct. It was the conference call that got double booked, and the broadcast comes from the room, so we're good on that.
Yeah.
And since members of the public don't dial in, that's not an issue.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, great. Just wanted to make sure. We'll give people just a couple more minutes because I think we said it would take about 10. And oh, and there's your email about that. Thanks. All right. Actually, let's go ahead and see who is here, and then we can figure out, because I know some people aren't going to be able to join us. Amber, did you make it over?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. Connie? Cynthia?
Hillary, this is Connie.
Oh, hey, Connie. Good. I'm pretty sure Bo will not be joining us. Joyce? And I know, I think Judd, Michael, none of them will be on. Renee?
I'm here.
Excellent. Rudy?
Here.
And then Sheila is in, and Fran are both in Western Conference. Elena, did you make it over?
Hi. Yeah, this is Elena. I'm on.
Excellent. And then anybody else just join? I thought I heard a ding, but maybe I called your name after the ding. So, okay.
Hillary? This is Fran. Actually, Sheila and I are out of conference right now,
great.
So I'm on.
Oh, perfect. Good for you. Sorry, I thought that was today, too. So, great. All right. Did everybody got the email attachments? Hey, who just joined us?
This is Sheila.
Sheila. Oh, good. All right. Did you all get the email with the charts and then the work that Renee did for us? I'm assuming if... not hearing anything.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, I should have asked that in the reverse.
And I was going to ask you too, Hillary, did you get the initial training material that we were trying to put together?
Yeah, I did. We have so much already on our agenda, and that I'm not sure how we're going to handle that with this group.
Okay. So, well, I just thought we'd share it. So we'll just post what we have.
Yeah, and Sheila, I have my team reviewing it, and so I thought maybe we'd do one more back and forth.
Okay.
And then talk. That's one of the things that, since we have some other items coming up, I thought we would talk about, you know, looking at that.
Okay.
So I was going to talk about it on the meeting.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, it's just one of those where we as a group, decide what do we want to do, because we have more things to do than time we have to do it in, if that made any sense. All right. So we'll go ahead and pop up the chart, and then my computer is not cooperating with me, so give me just a second here. I'll fill people in on the half conversation that Sheila and I had, we're having. I cannot multitask this morning. The working group that was working on the voter service and polling center has put together a draft manual, and there was a group that reviewed it. We got the request for this group to review it, and so I'm not sure how we would like to handle that, because we still have a couple other pieces to deliver to the commission, and our bandwidth seems to be narrowing on both sides.
I don't know that it needs that thorough of a review, but I thought it could be helpful for providing to the commission, because it demonstrates that we have our training manuals ready and it's easy breezy and this is how we do it.
I guess my only thing was, without us going over it first as a group, it would make me nervous, and then and so I'll just, yeah, my own stuff's getting in the way here too. Because the other part with that is, well, to send it out with, well, I guess we could just send it out and see who has time to review it. It's strategic. Where do we want to put our time?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm feeling the anxiety of the looming election. And so when I ask this group to do things, I think it's a good idea. And if we had, I just don't know how to fit it in with everything else we have going on.
Okay.
And I'm nervous to just, without us reviewing it and collectively aligning as a group, to mm-hmm. turn it over to the commission. So that's right. My issues. Whether, let's take a few minutes and just discuss this, because it leads to the other agenda item, which is, you know, what do we want to present to the commission? And I agree, it just could be something. Others?
Is Cynthia on the line?
This is, yeah. Virginia. Cynthia's not here today.
Have okay. you looked at them? Virginia, Cynthia has commented on them.
I'm sorry, I just joined the meeting because when you, I got on when you were cutting off, and I knew you wouldn't email me the info, so I emailed Rudy, and he just got it to me. So,
okay.
So I'm not sure what I have. Cynthia has.
So to catch you up, what we're talking about is the what to do with the manual. Do we present it to the commission? If we're going to present it to the commission, do we have time for us to review it and align that's our processes? I was waiting for my staff to review it first, and then I was going to take a look. Do we have a smaller group review it, and if they're good to go, do we present it as a sample or a draft, or here's what we're working with? Yeah, so... And then I'm assuming other counties will probably still have their own version. I just want to make sure if we present it, we communicate it properly. So how would that be? And again, it's in really good shape. It's not that there's a problem with it. It's just that we haven't had a chance to review it as a group.
Right. Well, I think everybody else beside you and I probably don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, so what are you talking about then? I thought I set that up, but apparently not.
No, right. You did, but they just haven't seen anything. So just the voter service and polling center group and the mail ballot group was supposed to be working post 1303 on training manuals. The mail ballot group dropped off because we don't have Josh List, and that group never really got a good handle on how to present a uniform mail ballot training manual where counties could use an outline of a training manual and plug in their county-specific stuff. But the Voter Service and Polling Center did get some manuals put together, and they're ready for review. There's a few tweaks, I think, that need to finish up happening, but we got updated screenshots because we got access to the UAT. And there's just it's very, very close to being done, and we're going to post it on the CCCA website in case anybody could benefit from using the manuals. But the thought was that if the business practices group thought they were good too, it could be just another tool to show the commission that on the clerk side we're ready. But totally up to the group, and I think we can pass right on by this since nobody's been able to see it yet, and just post it to the CCCA website for the Voter Service and Polling Center group. And, you know, what counties can look at it and use it this year, and if not, that's okay. You know?
Thanks, Sheila. That was a helpful explanation and potential process. I do like the idea, is there a way to at least show it to the commission, and from this group, what would it take for you all to be comfortable with that? Because we have multiple weeks. And I guess Elena and Fran, do you think that would even be useful, or is it, I'm not know if we would even go through it in a very in-depth way.
This is Joyce.
Yeah, this is Elena. I think it would be very helpful for the commission. In several of our conversations, it's clear that there's a lot of confusion about what happens and how judges are trained, and there's a belief that the judges will be flying blind. So I think even if it's a draft or a preliminary version, putting something in front of them just to say, you know, here's what it's going to look like, will, I think, help calm a lot of those concerns and just show that there has been a lot of thinking that's going into how operations are going to flow.
This is Fran. I agree with Elena.
Okay. And maybe that's just the way that we it's a working draft, right? So we'll take the comments that we get, and then what if we put it on hold on, I'm trying to find the email that what if we put it on one of the future meetings so that then we could get anybody else's comments? Like, not the one on the 26th, but maybe either the 6th or the – I don't know if I'm on the right – wait, sorry, I think I'm talking Fridays right now. Our next couple meetings are the – darn it. Can I – so we have a meeting on the 26th, and then our meeting on the 3rd is pretty much going to be about the report, I would think. So either the 6th or the 9th, do we think if those who want to review it could review it by then, and if, and we'll add in the new comments?
Yes, I think so.
I think that's doable.
Which one?
The 6th.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I gave it. It's the 9th, not, yeah, the one on the 9th.
It's the 9th, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I started giving Fridays instead of Mondays. All right. Is there any objection to that plan, to take a look at it, and then we'll present it to the business practice group on the 9th? Okay.
You mean present?
So then what do you want to, Sheila, what if we post it to both? We let put it on the CCA site and then ask for comments by a certain,
okay.
Well, let me pause one time. I don't know if it's useful to incorporate any of the comments that we have now, or do we want to do a group solicitation and then have those willing work through those and figure out which comments are actually substantial or content-based.
So post it on the CCCA website and request comments if anybody has any thoughts on them by, like, let's even say the 5th of September or even the 2nd of September.
Yeah, I would say make it, yeah, have them in on the 2nd
of
the holiday. And then
holiday, so by the 3rd.
Yeah, if we have them by the end of the day on the 3rd.
Okay, and then
so that'll work, and then we can talk. If there's any, you know, big process differences, we have a meeting on the 5th that we could discuss it amongst this group.
Okay.
That would work great. And then what do you want to do with comment? Do we want to try to do – do we want to do an interim draft with any of the comments you've already gotten from Larimer? And, again, we'll have some by the end of the day Friday.
I think we've got it in – we've already gathered the comments from Larimer and Chafee because that's
okay.
The – essentially the
okay.
VFPC group. So it's
great.
Like in as good a form as we can get it in at this point.
Okay, well, then let's just post, and then
we'll just
add
start from there
when everybody else does.
Okay.
That sounds great. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then those, if others have a manual already, if you could look at, you know, do you have parts in there that are different or, you know, or is there anything missing? I think that would be helpful as well, just to post that as some of the comments. Would that work? Would that be helpful, Sheila?
Yep.
Okay.
Off.
That would be great. And thank you guys so much for all your work on getting that together. It should be a really good tool. So we'll just flip the agenda and let's take so one of the other pieces that the commissioners would like us to do is a piece on is what else do we think would be useful at the next couple meetings to show them. And I know one of the So the context for that is decisions are going to be made, and we as clerks and people in elections, election administrators, you know, we kind of have some clear pictures in mind when we're discussing a process. And with the rest of the commission, we don't know, you know, what is common knowledge and what is, oh, yeah, we've been doing it so long, we forgot. That's our norm, but not necessarily their norm. So with that frame in mind, and Elaine and Fran, I'd love your help on this too. What sort of things would be useful? Because we have a couple meetings because of the recall where really the SOS staff is going to be heads down on that, where we can build some context for the commission as they make decisions later in the year with their meetings. So, you know, at this point, let's just, you know, if we even just brainstorm some ideas of, you know, what might we show them, and then as a group we'll decide, oh, here's the things we will show them. And I think demos might act in some ways might be somewhat better because some do a good job at reading things that are supplied, and others, I think if we walk them through, we could ensure that they're getting the right meaning from what we're trying to show them. Elaine or Fran, does that sound about accurate? Is there anything you guys would add to just the setup of what we're looking for?
This is Fran. I agree that a demo, pictures are worth 1,000 words, so a demo is very beneficial. I think that if the commission could get an idea of the process of registering a voter, I saw some of the work that Renee did, and I think that's really fantastic. Some of the explanations he did that, but actually set up and go through a score registration, if we can do that in Sandbox or something like that, I think that would be very beneficial so they could see that double screen thing that everyone is concerned about. I think that'd be very helpful too.
Oh, that's a great idea, like to set up an election and walk them through the different processes. And I think, Amber, I know you guys had some of that set up. I don't know we'll have the new functionality, won't we? Doesn't that roll out shortly?
This weekend, I think.
Is it this weekend? I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
UAT was this week, so I think this weekend, I think they had their go, no-go meeting yesterday.
Was that yesterday? Yeah, I'm so blurred on the dates. Okay, well, then we could, you know, show them with the new, well, as it's going to function in November.
Right, the UAT, it is supposed to.
Go ahead. Did we lose you, Fran?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought you were. It sounded like you got cut off.
I might have moved the phone away. From what I understand, the UAT third quarter, you know, with the different functionality is supposed to happen this weekend.
Okay, great. Take them through registration, take them through processing a voter in the service center. I mean, kind of like the demo that you guys, Amber, your team did, only with the updated version. I mean, we could even just log in so we wouldn't have to create anything. We could just, I know some of us have elections already set up in the sandbox. We could just go through and show them. What do you guys think? And then the other, like, these are great ideas. Now, who wants to help make them happen? Or who can, even remotely? Don't even have to come to Denver, although we'd like you to.
Well, I think I know this is Amber in Denver.
Yeah.
We've been working on a lot of training materials for our judges for the upcoming election. So I know that we probably would be able to do, if it's just a walkthrough of kind of all the different scenarios and then demonstrating score. I mean, I don't think that would be a huge challenge because we're kind of already working on it anyways. So, I mean, we would certainly be available to help do something like that.
What if we make that for the 9th, the meeting on the 9th, and then that gives, you know, plenty of time for, you know, because by then, like you said, most of us will be pretty heavy into our own training materials at that point. And maybe go ahead.
Is the vision just like every scenario that the voter would need to go through, basically?
that would be my thought, so we could, you know, work in also all the, you know, the flow chart exception that we did and the exception chart.
Yeah.
So people could, like, see what that looked like, not as well. But, yeah. I mean, that's just brainstorming, open. What are the rest of you think?
I agree.
I think that would be really helpful. And one piece that keeps coming up where I think there's a lot of confusion is around the whole issue of what it means to verify a voter's registration. And I think going through step by step, here is what happens, whether the registration is processed, you know, in June or if it's processed at a voter service and polling center on election day. Just highlighting that, I think, would clear up a lot of the confusion that some of the commission members have about how registration works.
So, I think it would make sense. Is it at all too much in the weeds Elaine, I know you seem interested. Do you think the whole commission will be interested to sort of see the walkthrough, or does it need to be kind of at a higher level, or should it just mirror whatever our training is going to look like? I mean, that's kind of my, I guess, question for everybody.
My sense is that it needs to start very, very big picture.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be helpful for a set of folks to just get the, you know, the largest, most expansive view. I do think, in part, I mean, I'm biased because I'm interested in it. I do think it makes sense to go in and dig a little deeper, though, just to show that there are processes in place and there's thought that goes in beyond the most basic scenario.
So
I would do both, but definitely start big picture.
Yeah.
So maybe do kind of like two scenarios. So one with a voter who's coming to get, say, a replacement ballot, so to kind of show. And then the other one would be like a new registration, going through step by step, and maybe even if that person, well, and then maybe one from another county to show that the ballot would be canceled, and mm-hmm. you know, so kind of those three different, even though there's a lot more than that, maybe those three to sort of, because I think that would pretty much illustrate the functionality of the system to be able to check certain things, right? Is that kind of the goal?
Yeah, I would think it's like, I'm trying to, like, what are the scenarios that are causing them the most angst, Elaine and Fran? I mean, I think definitely is the, you know, I don't think they have a picture of live in real time, right? So if somebody's voting someplace else, how do you know? So even just showing those shots, like, how do you know this person should get a ballot in front of you? Right, so showing the security screens on some of that, you know, like, yes, they were issued a ballot, now it's canceled, now here's their new one issued. Some of what you're talking about, I'm just trying to think of what are the other, we spend a lot of time talking about the deceased and the
felons
and that part is definitely raises anxiety for them. And then, do we speak, you know, to the exception? They're going to have anxiety. Some are going to have anxiety no matter what we say. So looking to kind of Elaine and Fran, what do you guys think that would be most useful for the commission and then the rest of the group, if you guys hear anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think a lot of it is this idea that the voter is going, you know, from county to county. I do think there is this more fundamental misunderstanding, which is that there's some sort of verification that happens if a voter registration is processed outside of the voter service and polling center context, where, and I don't actually know what is envisioned, but that there's some sort of like check that the person really is who they say they are and they live really where they say they live beyond what happens through the processing of the form.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really articulate what that misunderstanding is because it doesn't quite make sense to me, but I think there is a belief that there is a different process that happens when a voter standing in front of you on election day versus a paper form in advance. So yeah. Walking through what it means to verify a voter and the address library and the databases that do get checked, I think that might hopefully close some of the gap between this belief that we are going from a very secure system to a totally insecure system.
So maybe showing the difference in if somebody registers before election day that really there is.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know that there is a difference other than the confirmation card goes out, but.
Right, that's pretty much it.
Maybe saying that, because I've said that, and I don't know that it.
Yeah. And then
it just doesn't sound believable, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the process after that would be, I mean, that's something we're discussing with the DA group is, you know, and then if you get that confirmation card back, are you going
to
turn that over to the DA, which I think the answer to that is yes, but we haven't made that official. How does that sound to others on the voter registration side and voting issuing?
That makes a lot of sense to clear up a lot of the confusion.
And so maybe if we can even have the manual, like, earlier so we could send that out ahead of time. That's also one of the issues is just due to timing, we often get our packets the morning of the meeting, which is, you know, can be challenging. So maybe that's the other piece is, like, we meet on the 5th as the business practice group, and then, you know, barring that we didn't have any major changes, maybe we try to get it to the commission, you know, by Friday morning so they at least have the weekend to look it over. So then when we start, so then on the 9th, when we show them how it works, you know, I know there's some on the commission that would definitely have taken a look at the manual and that'll help them understand it even better.
We can make that and have a final draft ready for you guys to send out ahead of time.
That would be great. So that, I think that will be really helpful. The other piece that they've expressed interest in is, how the mail ballot processing worked. And it seems like on the 9th we would have, you know, time to go through both parts of that because we technically have, you know, from 1 until at least 4. Is there – this is where, like, counties kind of may have different procedures if they're doing it, you know, the size that they are, if they – have sorting ballot. Some use it for automated signature, and some use it just to sort the envelopes or, you know, capture for signature verifying, but not automated. So there's that piece, and then it heads on to tabulation. Do we have anything, and I'm trying to think what the mail group did, do we have anything that's at a generic enough level? And, you know, I guess back to Fran and Elena, too, what would the commission want to know? I think, you know, obviously signature verifying and how that works, probably an overview of the process, even though our tabulation systems are different. What do you guys think in that realm? And then do we have any existing materials that would be easy to show them?
We might. Because, well, Jeffco had started a mail ballot manual before
mm-hmm.
Josh left, so I could mm-hmm. look at how far he got, and then look at what we've got, because I know that we've prepared ours as well, that we can maybe generalize, make it more generic fairly easily. So
mm-hmm. I think that would be helpful. Elena and Fran, what do you guys think the group would want to know as far as, you know, the actual ballot processing part of it? Because I know they've expressed interest, but really at the top level.
Yeah, and I think even just a top-level overview would be helpful. I don't know. I think it would be fine to reference that there are places where the procedures vary a little bit, but I think even just a what happens to a mail ballot once it comes back at the most top level would be helpful for the group. Well, we did a training program for college students who were election judges a few years ago, and as part of that went to Denver, and I remember that Amber had a flow chart that was pretty broad that explained how it worked. I don't know if that's broad enough or general enough that would be something for the commission, or Amber, if you even still have that, but I don't think, unlike the registration piece, I don't know that we need to go as much into the weeds because I don't think there's as much angst. There's just, it's a lack of awareness.
It's just education. Yeah.
Well, we do still have that. It's actually on our website. It's the mail ballot life cycle. So.
Oh.
A mail ballot election, how everything from ballot design, well, from ballot cert is kind of where it starts, and then all the way around to certification. And it's really just, here's a mail ballot election. It doesn't have much to do with registration or whatever. It's just all the steps associated with an election. So, I mean, we could definitely present that, and then maybe get into some of these, you know, from the voter's perspective, and show what the system can do in terms of the verification of registration, as well as, you know, noting that someone has already cast a ballot, and kind of showing the commission there, here are these error messages that come up when someone's already cast a ballot, or here's what you would potentially see to demonstrate some of the safeguards. Maybe that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, probably what they're interested in is, you know, here's where it works normal, and then what do you do for the, you know, how does it catch the things that it shouldn't be accepting?
Yeah, and really it would just be kind of some, you know, higher level, I think, examples. I don't think we'd have to show, you know, here, well, if this happens, then this, or, you know, we'd probably want to pick out some of those things, such as, you know, if a voter was deceased, what does it show in the system if we go to pull somebody up, or if they've already cast a ballot, or if they're coming from another county, or, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, I think as long as it stays up kind of at maybe a mid-level, I think some of that stuff is, it's hard to define it as high level, but maybe a mid-level and not totally in the weeds, then maybe that would be helpful. And then dig deeper if there's questions. So
yeah,
if they want to see something further, it's easy enough. If we're doing a demo in like Sandbox, it'd be easy enough to say, well, let's, you know, pull up something else, or let's show you this, or what have you. So you could kind of see what happens from the questions.
Yeah, I think that would be useful. Fran, Elena, others, what do you guys think?
I think that sounds great. Yeah, I'm so close to the issue that it's hard to know what the commission would really want, because I already know it.
Yeah, I'm just, and we haven't really talked, they haven't really expressed as many concerns on this other than that they're just interested in how it works. So I think that that's a great suggestion, Amber, just start with the more overview, and then if it gets deep or weedy or we need to come back with more information, we can do that. How much attention do we give that, you know, there's parts of the process are handled differently, still in compliance with the law, but, you know, where some of those choice points are? Because I think that's my sense with, well, with this new model and with the commission is, you know, where does uniformity make sense and where does it matter and where are you serving the needs of your community? I guess asked another way, how much of all of this really should be the same for every county? And I think that's the challenge, a challenging question. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I'm pretty sure the commission will bring it up.
I think it would be helpful to highlight how different counties do it and how it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's been a lot of talk at the commission around uniform voting systems and standard practices, and I think it would be easy for the commission to get into a mindset that the same thing should happen in every place. So highlighting how the needs of different counties may differ depending on size or geography or any number of other things and what that looks like and how it's different ways of still complying with the law might be helpful. I probably wouldn't go into too much detail because I think it's probably too in the weeds at this point, but at least referencing that there are different ways of doing different pieces I think would be helpful.
Well, and I think that it should be highlighted also that this bill brought us some uniformity. So now the counties can begin to move in that direction because that is what ultimately I think everybody wants, including the clerks, to have some consistency from county to county. But we still have many different kinds of tabulation systems, people who have different processes that have been in place for years. So this is going to be a transitional period toward that goal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Some of the other counties? There we go.
I agree, and there's a difference in probably between your small, medium, and large counties, not only just the voting systems, but the size of your county.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let's well, I feel like so the reason I'm laughing is because I feel like we come up with these, and I know, Amber, you have a lot of the materials already ready. Are you guys good with coming on the 9th and walking through some of those? Also, it's convenient because you're close, but
but politically,
I feel like we have these conversations, and then we go, oh, okay, and then then Denver, you guys step up, which is great. It's just
well, and do you guys feel like the commission was a little upset from hearing from Denver? So how, I mean, is it going to be handled okay that she doesn't take the heat like she did a couple of meetings ago?
Oh, no, I think the heat was at me for letting her come.
Okay.
And not properly announcing it because it was on the agenda and I didn't know I needed to announce it. That'd be my impression.
Okay.
But
I just want to make sure that...
Yeah, no, that's a good point, though.
Maybe another county could step in and give them a little bit of variety and take the heat off of Denver.
And it might not be bad to have others there, too, to speak to it. It's just, you know, we're heading into... That's like, I think that's content... I think we'll have just sort of gotten the content on the 6th, and so some of it's also like, can others come?
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's someone else available to come along, I mean, we're fine certainly by ourselves, and I don't have any issue. I'm not even concerned about the last time I went up there. That doesn't bother me. But I, you know, if there is someone else that is available that wants to help with some of it or can come or even be on the phone maybe, that certainly works for us. It doesn't matter to me either way.
I think from a clerk perspective, if we could get another county to come and join and talk, you know, talk about, yep, that's similar to what we do or any of that, it would be really helpful just because again, so that they hear that it's, I mean, even though we do things very similarly, that they also hear it.
Is it, I know the 9th is obviously the day before the recalls. Is it going to make sense to do it that day, or would it be more appropriate the week after? I just wasn't sure how engaged everyone's going to be on the 9th.
Well, I think most of the commission won't. Well, I don't know. My sense is it's the SOS who won't be. The chairs probably won't be engaged. What do you guys? I mean, we're planning on meeting then. I guess maybe that's a question for the commission. Do they want to meet that day?
Well, and I do know just to bring up. I mean, I know that like I think some of the other counties have been requested to help with some of the, like, mm-hmm. I know that Douglas is sending folks down to, I think, to help with the recalls. I know I'm potentially sending some staff, so I don't know if there's going to be, I guess wanted to bring that up. And then potentially one of the recall counties, I mean, I don't know if Bo would want to provide a perspective after the election's over. Too, so I don't know. I guess I'd throw it out there to see.
Well, we could do it safer and maybe just plan on doing it on the 16th.
Yeah, maybe that would be.
I mean, that way if resources are needed in the direction of the recount. Fran and Elena, what do you guys think?
You know, that might be kind of a good idea because then the recall election is, you know, behind Bo and El Paso, and they might give some meaning to the score demonstration. Did it work? Is there something else that's needed?
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll be ready to be there and commenting by the
time. Oh, no, not be there, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the things the commission may want to hear is how it went for them. But again, they're not really operating under House Bill. They're not. I don't know even if their information is really relevant because they're not truly operating under House Bill 1303. So.
No, you're right there.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like because the recall is so strange, I think we probably should wait until the 16th so that hopefully there will be greater participation and focus, but I think it'd be helpful to do these things before we get into a debrief of the recall, so there's at least that base of knowledge about how it works normally before this election, which is pretty much all odd exceptions and workarounds and whatever, before that sort of frames out understandings of some processes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, so I think, you know, from that perspective, maybe the 9th is fine, and then the following week would be, you know, kind of a follow-up after the recalls. I don't know. So.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of my, now I've brought back to the 9th as well, so that way, if any issues come out, they're not, you know, we're not addressing those because they're exceptions, not how the process works. And we, at some point, we'll still need to speak to it if there are issues and get people to get what the difference is. So.
Yeah, I think either way is fine. It's just a question of whether or not there'll be critical mass for a meeting on the 9th, which I think is just a question for the commission next week.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm planning to be there, but I don't know about others, what their involvement, you know, different members or, you know, just what that'll look like. So if we're only going to have, you know, four people, I don't want to lose that opportunity to explain some of these core pieces.
Yeah, and with that, I think it's, and some will, may not know, so I would say maybe we just go ahead and do it on the 16th and maybe even suggest we cancel the meeting on the 9th at our next meeting.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, but we can talk about it because I know there's some that will be heavily engaged, and or if there's an emergency, we'll have to be engaged. So, okay. Well, I think that's really helpful. Thanks. That's the sort of the second part of the agenda. Anything else to add on what we'll show the commission? I think that will take us a good part there, and then we can bring that up, conversation up again and plan the next time after we hear some of their questions. Right. So now if we can move on, I dumped everything into the spreadsheet of what we talked about and tried to separate it out. This is the very rough draft, and if we can, what I'd like to do is just go through each line in the boxes and make sure that it has in there what we want it to have in there. You guys have that up in front of you or printed in front of you? So I'm going to take the silence as a yes, and we'll start with the circumstance of the voter. So the first example is they're not a resident in the county or state. That one's pretty straightforward. The voter receives a provisional ballot. Any disagreement or differences on that or any additional information we need to put there? Okay, next, can't verify the voter in score. Voter receives a provisional ballot. Next one, score indicates a ballot has been received. Voter receives a provisional ballot. All good so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then some registration ones. When registering a voter, it appears the voter is deceased. So this is the one that, Renee, thank you so much for getting those materials together. So we sent out those materials and then had a pretty good conversation about this. So if it looks like the voter is deceased, however, they seem to be standing in front of us, that would be where we'd call in a supervisor if we couldn't, you know, quickly. And I guess that's the question I still have. Is there any way without further research that the person who's checking them in could tell if an error was made?
Not a normal election judge, but if it was election staff,
yeah.
Possibly.
So I think we're good with the recommendation would be to just have a supervisor, and that could just mean it's a staff person, looks to see what's going on.
I agree with that.
And then if the person has minimum matching criteria, you would reinstate that voter? Yes or no?
I'd say yes.
I agree.
Okay. And Renee, I just captured some of your notes in the comments in the note part.
Mm-hmm.
On that. I think the recommendation in this process is that the
that the judge, you know, for the judge make sure that they didn't type in something different that pulled, or they didn't, you know, collect the wrong record or whatever that is, and that if there's no error on their part, then you call a supervisor over.
Yeah.
Everybody good with that?
I think that's the best way to handle it.
Okay, so I'm going to delete the comment then. I just wanted us to discuss that. The authority to give the election judge is, you know, if they're sure they weren't the ones making the error, then they call us, then they contact the supervisor in whatever method that county has. I know, Amber, I think you guys said they call in, or in the other counties, you know, you're doing it right there at the same spot, so whatever their process is. Okay. Next one is, when registering, the voter appears they're a felon. I have, that's the same thing, that's when you'd call in the supervisor. Then what's the recommended process that you guys use for your supervisor if it's the person and their name's on the felon list? Do they vote a provisional? What's the process? And it might vary also the difference between if it's before Election Day or on Election Day.
Well, I know in Delta County, on Election Day, I'm not too sure how to sort that out, but we do process the record and send the letter again to give the voter a chance to say that they disagree and that they shouldn't be canceled. I don't know how we're going to handle that on Election Day, really, if this appears.
What's their current challenge process?
I'd have to look at a letter.
Yeah, I was just trying to think that too, because I think if they're standing in front of you, you can give them the letter, right?
Right.
And that should tell them the steps they can take. I wonder if this might be an area we need something, because we have same day registration, do we need something additional in law that gives, you know, a cure period like we do with signatures and whatnot?
You're on the felon?
Yep.
I don't know about that. Cure period.
Well, if they challenge that they're on, so like ahead of time, if you send them the felon letter and they don't think they're on it, they can take some steps to either correct it if it's an error, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had one happen here, and the guy just came in and said, hey, you've got the wrong Jesse. And, you know, we realized that it was a data entry error, a mass mismatch, and we corrected it. But that's the only time it's ever happened here. So I'm thinking on Election Day, the judges won't have those tools to look at the CDH or the CDOC. Kind of the same thing as the deceased voter.
Right. So the first step would be to call the supervisor. And, you know, that might, for us, that would probably be calling back here where someone has, you know, a little space to go dig into some stuff.
Yeah, and maybe you just fill it in just like the person who's deceased and say, supervisor looks in CDOC and checks the minimum matching criteria.
Except the opposite. Well, right, so with the one up above, if the person's standing in front of you and it really is that person and they have them as dead, would you register them new or would you reinstate their old record?
I think you'd reinstate their old record, and with the felon, you'd be checking to make sure that the minimum matching criteria did not match.
Right, correct. That's exactly
and
where
reinstate.
Right. Yeah. And then if it doesn't match, if it's not them, you'd reinstate them, and if it is them,
you'd go with that provisional.
Yeah.
On the felons, if they're showing up on that list, and CDOC is still showing them as a felon. So I suppose our recommendation at that time could be a provisional ballot.
Yeah, then the only thing with a provisional ballot is if there's no process there's nothing in law that gives them any, because the registration deadline used to be 29 days, they could still have time before election day to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you give them a provisional ballot, if you discover, and that's the other part I'm not sure on, if you discover that they're not actually a felon, I don't know if there's any process in law that allows for any kind of cure.
Right. I did find the letter. So it says that you received this information that has the system's identified you as either incarcerated or serving parole. And Colorado law requires you to be canceled. If you believe your voter registration has been canceled as a result of an error or an inaccurate information, please call your county clerk and recorder's office immediately. So there's really no recourse on the letter either, other than
right, verifying. So they call us up.
Yeah.
Right. And let's say someone says, no, I served my time on parole. Where would we send them? Those of you who are a little more hands-on.
Yeah, definitely a tricky situation indeed, Hillary. If they say that, let's say we canceled them in like 2008 and they show up this year and say they've already done their parole, I guess we'd have to re-register them.
And how would we know that? That's the part that I'm not, like, how does that work in the process? Do they go to the parole board? Do they go to the Department of Corrections? I guess maybe this is one to look at, because there's a group that works with felons and they probably know the process better than us. We used to hand out their brochure and have them work with them. Elena, I don't know if you know the group I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, the Criminal Justice Reform Coalition?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can reach out to them.
Maybe that's the best. Right now, we would just, you know, leave it as it is. Like, if minimum action criteria is not the same, we'd reinstate them or register them new. If it can't be resolved, we'd have them vote a provisional ballot. If it's before election day, then we would, inform them of process, you know, to correct their record. And then we'll work on what that is. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me.
And then the part, Elena, when you reach out to the criminal justice, there may be, again, so now if this happens before election day, they have time. This may be something... Oh my gosh, this was, you know, me, I sometimes open unintentional cans of worms, but I'll ask anyway. If it happens on election day, should there be a cure period for them as well? Because it's an error and it's not their error, especially if they really have served their time. I mean, I kind of lean towards yes, but we don't have that in law right now is my understanding. So that might be something, if that group would look at it, that would be super helpful. How same-day registration impacts their processes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll ask them and then report back.
That would be very helpful. Thank you. But for the time being, then we'll just, I think the process is the same. We just don't know how to help resolve it. Okay, so what I wrote was if this happens, you'd call your supervisor. The supervisor, if it's on election day, if minimum matching criteria is not the same, you either reinstate or register the voter. Reinstate means you might have chosen the wrong record to begin with. So maybe they do, you know. And then if it can't be resolved, the voter would vote provisional ballot. Before election day, you could give them the choice of voting a provisional ballot, although right now we don't have anything in law. So for 2013, I would inform them of the process because right now I don't see any process in law where we could correct and count that ballot. Does that sound accurate? Are you guys reading your email?
Yeah.
I didn't mean, yep, I'm reading email. I meant, yep.
No, I was just laughing. Okay. All right. I'll leave that one there. Okay. So voter has been canceled for not being a citizen. Registered voter, and they come in and they affirm that they are. You know, like maybe they accidentally checked the wrong box or something when they registered originally. And they say, yeah, I'm a citizen. What do you do?
I think we let them vote a regular ballot.
Yeah.
I think that's how it's handled. I mean, even last year, if they submitted a new form, then you go with the affirmation and what they provided on the new form.
Yeah, I agree. It's based on the affirmation in law at this point.
Yep. Because I didn't see anything in law where, you know, because they're signing an affirmation where it even talks about the checkbox on the form and what to do if there's a difference. It talks about what to do if they don't mark it. So, but that's probably a conversation with a few of you another day. All right. So now let's go. A registered voter has no ID and wants to vote in person at the center. That one's easy. Give them a provisional ballot, right? Receive a replacement mail ballot. So this one, we've gone round and round on, and a new wrinkle came up at the central meeting where they talked about the requirement that you can only turn the ballot over to the voter. And we've talked about how there's nothing in law that says they need an ID to do that. Because I know some counties are still pretty adamant that they'd like to require ID for a replacement ballot. What do we want to recommend on that one? I wrote what we talked about last time is the black, and then I kind of highlighted in the orange what the conversation was.
I think what a middle ground would be is that it's, I would think, acceptable practice that if they're showing up in person that we request an ID. 90%, well, 99.9% of them are going to whip out their driver's license, Colorado ID, like everybody else does. But if they just didn't have one, you would continue on. Because it's not required, but I think the discussion was more not that it was required, but more so that it was just a request and have never had anybody not have a form of ID to present us to obtain a replacement ballot.
And okay.
That's really complicated because that's request the ID, but if they don't give it to you, then what?
Yeah. Okay, and I'm just thinking of that watcher standing there.
Ours has never even blinked an eye about it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because we don't see where it's required in law, we haven't required an ID to pick up a replacement ballot.
Well, we don't require it either, but we request it.
We don't request or require, so. Other counties, how are you planning on doing this in your voter service center? And what do we want to recommend?
In Morgan County, we ask them for their ID because generally they drove in the first place. So if they didn't have their ID, they can always go out and get their the form from their registration. And then we also have them fill out a replacement form so that we can check their signatures.
Yeah, because they would be doing that replacement form, and we talked about that, the voter service center form.
Right.
So I guess you could use that, right? Like, because you'll have score. You could look it up in score, and if they have an ID or their signature matches. But, again, we don't have that in law that tells us we can say no.
Right. But like you said, if we have that signature, then that's basically covering it. Even if they don't have that signature, that way And then if the signature doesn't match, then we do the provisional.
Or we ask them to bring back their ID.
Yeah, that's right.
Because bring back their ID and then, because the only part in law that we could hang that on is the you can only give the ballot to the voter, to the eligible voter. At least that's the theory. So what do we want to recommend? I've heard request ID, and then if they don't have it, I'm paraphrasing. You said it much more elegantly, Sheila, but give it to them anyway. We've had the compare the signature, because we'll have them all fill out a voter service form when they enter the voter service center.
Well, not compare the service or the signature with that form, but compare it with an older signature, right?
Not on the ballot, I meant on the, like if you take the form and you pop up their registration, because you're going to have to issue them a new ballot anyway.
Oh, I see what you're saying, sorry.
Compare it in score.
Yeah.
Either an ID or signature. But again, we don't really, there's
nothing.
There's
not really enforcement around that, yeah.
Right, there's nothing in law that says if that doesn't match, you can blah, blah, blah. We're.
But it's a good best practice.
Okay. I mean,
for the people who are afraid of fraud, I don't.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, that's the thing is we're working on such minute exceptions here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where we exactly. That's where our havoc comes from, which is why we're working on the exception chart today, all in one painful meeting.
Hillary, just a quick question. I missed it. So we're talking replacement mail ballot, or are we talking about someone who is they did something to their mail ballot, so now they want to vote in person? Because I think
the replacement mail ballot. They come to a center and they want to get a mail ballot and take it with them, and they're already registered.
So I mean, signature verification. In that case, signature verification is going to happen on the mail ballot when it comes back to the office.
Yep.
So
this is the conversation we had before, and I just was bringing it up because central region, a few counties in the central region weren't happy.
So signature verification will happen later.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really need to happen there as a site on a form.
It's true. It's just if they don't have ID, then the only part of law that you could even loosely use, well, not loosely, that you could apply is you can only give the ballot to the actual voter. And then the question is, well, how do you know it's the actual voter? Because they say so? Because they filled out a form that says so? Because they have ID? And I know there, and really it's aligning on the process. There's like, so those who want, and there are those who want to require people to show an ID to get a replacement ballot.
No, yeah, I think everyone needs to be doing it the same. I wanted to make sure, because I think they're two different things to get a replacement mail ballot and to get a replacement ballot that is in person.
Yeah,
if that makes
sense.
Because that's going to be cast.
Right, I mean, that one you totally need the ID, and that's in law, and that's very clear.
There's no verification later on, so I just wanted to make sure we were clear on the two different.
Yeah, I mean, and I know my preference, well, what law also clearly supports is that, I guess it's just that it's like we can make up all of these. The only thing is how do you know the voters who they say they are? That's the only part of law that, because otherwise I don't think we have any permission to not give someone their ballot because they don't have ID.
I agree with that, Hillary, and we also have the people that can just make a phone call in and request a replacement, and we send them a form.
Yep.
So
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, it all comes back to signature verification of that ballot.
Yeah. And I was just going to point out the form is no longer required.
Oh, it's not?
With 1303, no.
Oh.
Isn't that true, Amber? I was 99% sure we got rid of the form, because then what do you do if nobody does the form, right? The signature on their ballot is them ensuring that it's their replacement.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So that kind of comes right back to this replacement mail ballot.
we are treating voters differently. And I guess the way we, you know, kind of the one side is the we use the address to verify it. Right? I mean, it went to the address. That's how we verified that it was the voter.
Yeah.
So I'll ask again. What do we want to recommend the practice to be, since that's our job as this committee?
I would recommend no ID to get a replacement ballot, Weld County.
As we have it written?
Yes.
And then go ahead. Renee, what are you saying?
Yeah, sorry. That they fill out the replacement form and we issue a replacement ballot.
Yes. And to be clear, the form we're talking about is a one form for all purposes in a voter service center. Replacement being one of the options.
Correct.
Yeah, perfect. Sheila?
I'm good with that, and then we rely on signature verification when the ballot returns. But in there, don't we want to also include that we do not scan and capture the signature on the VSPC form?
Yeah, that's what that next sentence is supposed to do. Voter service form is either processed after the election or signatures are compared to voter record if a discrepancy voter is flagged for further investigation, because that was supposed to capture your process, Denver, because you said they get sent over to your registration team and they take a look at it when they're processing them.
Sounds good.
I just wanted to make sure that was true. Okay, so Sheila, then you're good with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Connie?
Yeah, we'll go with the majority.
Okay. Fran, what do you think?
I like the recommendation. Again, we need to treat all voters the same, and Renee brought that point up. You know, if they're calling in, they're not required to have ID, so I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah. Joyce?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I agree. I think that we do need to form and go with it. Yeah, no ID.
Using the form, and I think the form helps too. And then Virginia, of course, I'm going to put you on your spot and hold you forever accountable for Larry Murr's answer. I'm kidding. But what are your thoughts representing you yourself? And if you want to represent your county, that's fine too.
Virginia stepped away, so you can't put her on the spot.
Oh no! I was trying to give her a hard time.
Larry Murr County's preference is still to request an ID, and if they are unable to present an ID, to use minimum matching criteria.
Okay. So it sounds like, however, from the business practice group, based on, did I miss anybody? Sorry, my email with everybody's names went away, so I was trying to do it from memory. Did I miss anyone? And then Elena, what obviously with the county process, how does that sound from your perspective? Sorry.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, I was concerned about having an ID request if it wasn't required, because I think there's a lot of potential for confusion. But I think going the approach with the form makes a lot more sense. So I think I like it.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. So we'll note Larimer's preferred preference, which again, and then, but the recommended practice will be what we wrote in the spreadsheet from this group. We have one more group, and then we'll be done. So now it's a new voter who has no ID and wants to register and vote in person. The voter's given a provisional ballot. It's obviously not going to count, so there may be some, you know, before Election Day. I guess it's like, do we recommend telling the voter the process that really the only way their ballot's going to count is if they go and get an ID?
I think that seems like a reasonable best practice to let them know that they're going to receive a letter to cure the ID deficiency problem, you know, and they're going to have so many days to come in so that they have an idea of what they need to do after they leave your office.
So that's the second example. I think with the first example, if they want to vote in person, they have to have ID. And the difference with other voters is if you can verify their ID. So if a new registrant, so someone who's not even in SCORE yet, how would you know what ballot to give them?
You have to use your provisional locator.
Oh, and then give them that style? Yeah. Okay. So if they insist on voting there in person and they don't have their ID, which, you know, in my county is not unlikely on election day sometimes, tell them the process, that it's not going to count, but they're welcome to go ahead and vote it, or they should go get some ID. Everybody okay with that being the recommendation? Anybody object? Anybody planning on doing it different?
I don't know if you say it's not going to count, because it could count if they come back.
As well.
But if they're – so, but if – so, sorry, remind me on the provisional process, I guess, because this is a new registered voter. Would you send them a note from the provisional ballot as well? I guess this is the part I forgot, Sheila. You can still send them a note saying you need ID with the provisional.
I thought they still had an opportunity to cure. I thought that laws
right.
were
I think they do.
So if they forgot to sign their provisional envelope or were ID deficient, they get the same letter a mail ballot voter gets, essentially.
Right. Okay, now I get what you're talking about before. I was thinking of the mail ballot. So is that – that's how that works again? I'm sorry, I'm not thinking provisional right now. I think that's right, though.
Rudy, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree, and I just tried to avoid confrontation for our judges out at the service centers. So, we wouldn't get into the conversation whether or not it's going to count or not.
So then it's really why would you, unless they wanted to take the ballot with them, why would you bother giving them a mail ballot and marking their record voter ID required? I mean, the only reason, the second example, remember we spent a lot of time on our previous
mm-hmm.
call talking through that? It seems like, because I had totally forgotten that you do the same thing for a provisional, and they'll fill out that application, right? So it'll be on the provisional envelope of how to contact
mm-hmm.
them. I think maybe you just reinforce that, you know, we're going to be contacting you for ID, and you'll have up until, you know, whatever many days to provide it.
Well, I think if they want a mail ballot, we can't block them from having a mail ballot and carrying it out with them. But if we're marking them ID required, which would be appropriate, then they should also, you know, they'll see that on their instructions, if they're marked ID required, they have to provide one of these forms of ID in order for their ballot to count.
So then the question is the best practice to push them towards a mail ballot and have them take it with them? I guess it depends on, you know, how close to 7 o'clock on election day is it? Or maybe that's the practice up until, you know, whatever, 6 on election day. Or do you push them to a provisional?
I think you just leave it voter preference.
Yeah, I guess the problem I have with voter preference is, and maybe this is my motherly urges, is what seems totally normal and obvious to us, to many of my provisional voters who wouldn't have ID, I don't know if they get the process. And I guess maybe that's the question to you all. Is there an advantage for the voter, putting on your voter hat who knows very little, like even remembering to bring ID to the poll, which process serves them better, to have them vote a provisional ballot and then get, you know, stuff in the mail, or to have them vote a mail ballot? Because, again, we're making best practice recommendations as well as figuring out the process.
I worry about trying to get into the head of the voter and make a choice for them. I also worry about suggesting a best practice in that scenario where some judges might take it as the best practice as this is how it is. You know what I mean? I'm a little worried about heading them in.
Yeah, and I guess I know for my county we would recommend, because, again, they're not going to know. If there's something that works better for the voter, they're not going to know it. If
that makes any sense. And maybe there's not. Maybe you follow the voters' lead. What would you all like to recommend?
I suppose it would just be, I don't know, voter preference, how they want to vote. If they want to vote right there and then, they vote a provisional.
And if they want to take it, they'd be ID required.
Yeah.
That other's preference, just to leave it neutral?
We might as well, I guess.
Okay. Okay. So I guess the question is, with a new voter and you give them a provisional ballot, they don't appear in SCORE. So can you even process them as a provisional ballot with current law?
Can you repeat that?
So they're not going to appear in SCORE, right? A new voter comes in. You're not going to register them. You go to process that provisional ballot. They don't appear in SCORE. Will current law allow you to accept that provisional ballot?
Yeah, because the provisional process has us go ahead and register them if we're going to accept the ballot.
But does that... does current law do that, though, is my question. I don't know if, or is that something we need to look at and put in? While Sheila looks that up, because that's our last one, I know, the relief. So I just want to talk about our agenda for the next time is going to be to the manual, review any issues that were outstanding with the manual. Then I've seen some emails going around about NCOA, and I would like to put that on the agenda for our next business practice meeting. Any objections, and can those of you that heard the questions come prepared for what we need to work through?
Yeah, and this is Amber.
Can we wait that long?
Well, so I don't know if there's anyone from the state on the call, but the other day on the conduct call, they said they were going to have a call on Monday, this coming Monday, regarding NCOA. Does anyone know if that's on or happening?
I forgot about that. I haven't seen anything.
Hillary said it was happening at the Western Conference yesterday, and I don't recall if she said Monday, but I know she said soon.
They said this coming Monday on the conduct call, but I just haven't seen anything. I can certainly, I've got an email drafted with all the, and we've marked up the instructional document with comments and issues that have come up. So I don't know if you guys would want me to distribute that to you all to see if I've captured everything, because I can certainly do that.
That would be great. I know we've been looking at some stuff too, and so how about if the call is next week and then our meeting's the following week, does that timeline still work to work things out, or do we need to do something sooner than that, or can we even do something sooner than that? Maybe we can just review with email and then finalize at our meeting?
Yeah, maybe that would work.
Okay, and we'll make recommendations and then have the group align on what we're going to recommend? How does that sound? You guys are killing me. Just gotta say, yeah.
I know, it's
just
pretty
gotta
dull.
Say, you're killing
you know,
me.
This morning, Catherine emailed everybody and told us that if the wind is not available, go to the oars. And it was like, gosh, that's how I feel today.
I know, exactly. Sorry, I thought I could last through the whole meeting without saying that, but no. No, I can't.
No.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to just steamroll. we'll look for the call. Amber, why don't you circulate that NCOA information to the group, and we'll put it on our agenda for our meeting on, I think it's the 5th. The 5th. That's our next meeting at 9 o'clock.
And I'm sorry, I don't think I have an actual list of the business practices group. Should I just send that to you, Hillary, or should I?
You have everybody, I think, with the email that I sent.
Oh, is everyone on there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have any issues, then yeah, just send it to me. And then
okay.
I've
got a few more things to do on it, and then I'll get it out to you guys when it's done.
Okay. And I know my staff's looking at the questions that were raised at Western, and we'll circulate those answers, and then some of our other things we've checked out with our attorney too, and we'll see what we can align on. Sheila, what did you find out on provisionals? And then I swear to God, I'll let y'all go.
Oh, I think it may be in rule, but essentially here, as I read through the statute, it just talks about any voter claiming to be properly registered but whose qualifications or entitlement to vote cannot immediately be established upon examination of the registration list is entitled to cast a provisional. And it doesn't really specifically say that you go ahead and register them and count their ballot in the statute, so I think I'll have to go to rule.
Yeah,
but I mean, that's our practice,
claiming.
And I can't see why that wouldn't still stand.
Well, because the difference is what I hear in that is that they're not claiming to be registered. They're a new registrant.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elena, is that something you guys can take a look at just to see what your thoughts on that are with the provisionals? Like, can a new registrant just fill out a provisional and then be qualified after the election? And if not, what would it take to make that happen?
Yeah, we can get into that a little bit.
That would be fabulous. Thank you.
If I find anything, Elena, I'll send you an email.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
That'd be great. So on Monday, I'm going to just put these out as a draft, and I'll let them know what questions we're still looking into, and I'll circulate the notes that I took. If anybody has any comments or objections, you know, if you let me know by noon on Monday, that would be great. Thank you, guys. I know it's hard on the phone, and I appreciate it. These are challenging, but doing them in person would be more challenging. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all. We'll see you. Our next meeting's on the 5th, same time, 9 o'clock. And I really do appreciate you guys making the time. It may not always sound that way. So thank you very, very much.
Thanks.
Signing off. Talk to you later.
Bye.